All right, turn with me to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, and I will be reading verses 17 through 30. Familiar story to us. Mark 10, picking up at 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." And again, this we know is the frequently read story about the young man, this rich ruler, who was only lacking one thing to be able to obtain everlasting life. There was only one thing that kept this man back, and the culprit, we know, was his flesh. But was it a fault in his character? Was he maybe a selfish person and not willing to let go of all the things that he had obtained? Or possibly he was just a little greedy, and he was not willing to let go of the things of the world, and those things that God had even given to him anyways. But it also says that he was probably a good man. In verse 17, he asked Jesus what good thing he could do. And we know, as what we read, he was already following the commandments. And he seems that he was ready to give up everything. Everything. Except for the one thing that the Lord says for him to do. The trials in our life, we know, build godly character. If so, if we let it. For this man to give up his wealth to help the poor and to go and follow Christ was a hard thing for this man. And it would be hard for us too. It's easy to say that we can give up all of our possessions or even our way of living to follow only the Lord's commandments. And we know that Jesus was the only one actually able to do this perfectly. And the story does not mean that all that we have to go out and sell every worldly possession that we own to have eternal life. But in this case, his greatest weakness was giving up his possessions. again, as is probably the case for many of us, and instead of giving away some things that will do us or him no good when we are dead in the near future anyways. And this man, he went away sorrowful. So let us freely give, as we have all been so graciously given much by this grace thereby, which we are now saved from the power of the first death. It is hard for us to see turning down a key to the greatest of all the treasures in the world, especially if there was only one thing that we had to do to get it. But it is happening every day. With time running out, it is becoming more critical each passing day, each passing moment, that we are examining our characters, our motives, our attitudes, checking to see if we are suffering for Christ's sake in the way that we live, in the way that we think. To follow Jesus is not easy. To battle against our sinful nature, with which we were born with, takes great skill and bravery and much courage. Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word of God is powerful, and the word of God should be stimulating. Follow what we believe to be right, the truth, the word of God. We all believe in the one body, and we believe in one Spirit, and one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And there is only one of each of us who are each called to follow the Lamb. And I myself am still perplexed that I have been given this great opportunity to have such a great hope. Because of all the peoples in this world, I and we have been given this truth, the one truth. And think about that. And what is it about ourselves that differs us from the rest of the world, that we have been chosen into God's grace? It should be truly humbling. All right, turn over to 1 Kings. I'm going to read the story of the rich ruler. 1 Kings 13. This isn't the story of the rich ruler. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I put the note in there. But 13:4-24. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, and according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and he returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the word which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Well, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread, and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And back in verse 9, it reads, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Now this man of God had already told the king that he could not turn again by the same way that he camest, even after being offered half of the king's house. He went another way. In verse 19, he followed a certain prophet back to his house. He ate bread and water. How quickly our minds can change. And out of nowhere, he directly disobeyed what the Lord had said for him not to do. And then as we read, as he left that home, he was soon killed by the lion. 1 John 4:1. John says this. First John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Not all prophets are true to God, as we just read, so we should always be aware that as this man of God was so easily taken in by the adversary, lest we be any different. Being destroyed by the lion could be our fate also. Our God does not tolerate disobedience, especially by believers, which means that we have to trust God's word only. And this man should have known that he was being lied to. And I think that if he would have thought for a moment what he was doing, and what he had said out of his own mouth in verse 17, for it was said to me by the Lord. And didn't he possibly think for a moment that the Lord turned to him and told him of this other prophet? Or would have told him, except for this one house, he can come back to, but no others. And that is why we are to come to assemblies and the functions of the ecclesia, and to read the scriptures daily, and to study them, so that when our test comes, we will have been filled with the Spirit word, which we know He has given to us. And as we follow Christ, there are many obstacles we will face. Some of us are stronger than others, having no difficulty facing the struggles. But some will ultimately take their faith and walk away from the sight of God forever. And they're tired of wrestling with their nature or whatever the excuses they gave up. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Brother Edward Fair said in an Advocate article that people leave the truth due to neglect of their own spiritual welfare. And for those of us whose foundation of faith rests on firmer ground, our task is to try to recover those who have left. Proverbs 4, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 4, verses 13 through 18. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Again, if we have a firm grip on this Bible that has lasted the test of time, we will all be a part of that perfect day. And that is our promised reward. In the account of this story in Matthew 19, I'm going to read verses 28 and 29 of Matthew 19. It says, And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Peter had just told Jesus that they had forsaken all and followed thee. And he gives them their reward in verse 28. But in verse 29, everyone else is included, especially those who gave up family members, not in the truth, to still stay with the Lord. There has to be a strong emotional boundary there when a family is divided for one's salvation. But we know this has happened, and we are supposed to love God more than anything or anyone else, no matter what. And as we know, there are a lot of religions on the earth. There's Hinduism, Judaism, Shinto, Catholics, Baptists, and we can go on, Islam. And everyone is searching for this same inner peace and this eternal life, immortality. And now that we know that we are truly the called ones, our goal to become a part of this covenant relationship was fulfilled at our baptism. And now we have to follow after other goals. And one is to set that Christ-like example in letting our lights so shine more and more until that coming day. And a few more examples of what happens to people that insist on disobeying God. Now, we all disobey in some sort. So be we thankful that we are living in this day and age where we're not immediately struck down when we sin. Genesis 6:13, the entire earth was left to drown, except for the family of Noah, being saved by his obedience. Genesis 19:26, life, luckily enough to be saved anyways from the imminent destruction of these cities, looks back to turn to a pillar of salt. Jesus used in Luke 17, saying, "Remember Lot's wife," showing them devotion to the worldly things she had instead of ungodly things, leading to her death. Exodus 12:29, and even though the Pharaoh had plenty of chances to obey what the Lord had told him through Moses, he lost his beloved son. Leviticus 10:1-2, Nadab and Abihu are devoured by fire. Judges 9:53-54, Abimelech's head is crushed by a millstone thrown by a woman, and many more have directly died from their disobedience of the Lord's sayings. In Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to read all of these. I picked out a few, starting at verse 15. I'll read 15 through 20. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." Down to verses 28 and 29. "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee." 32 through 37. "Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore, botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and that shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee." A couple more, 45, 46. "And moreover, all of these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, and for a wonder upon thee, and upon thy seed forever." And we know through history that all of these were with them. Now, a person's knowledge of all of these scriptures is supposed to strengthen his or her faith until the end, so that when our Master does come, and he calls for us to come, we won't have to hesitate or to think about how we could correct some of our wrongdoing. And we know that day is soon coming, so we should be preparing now. Our salvation we should have worked out already with fear and trembling. Just because we are each baptized and come here each first day of the week doesn't mean that we walk with Jesus. Just like the prophet learned back in 1 Kings, not even a man of God is safe from evil and death. We have to struggle till the end, Our Creator has shown us many marvelous works. Look up at the heavens, your night. And then to spread the good news of His coming kingdom. And that is our heavenly calling. And wouldn't that be great if we are all in the kingdom, this whole ecclesia, knowing all of our sufferings were worth it, that our faith were strong, and that we followed God's will. Let's all hope and pray so, brothers and sisters. And in closing, I will read from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. With that, we will enter into our memorial portion of our service. We'll sing hymn number 152. According to thy gracious word, before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn number 152. Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to their doctrines and commandments stated therein. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, we read in verses 9 through 21. Second Corinthians 5, 9 through 21. Therefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brother and sister, this is the time when we are to put all of our cares beside us, and that we are to focus in on our Savior, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We think on Jesus, and we know that he lived a life of suffering and a life of cruelty that we might live again. And we know that he wore the crown of thorns that we might sacrifice our bodies and our lives to glorify him. Even our hope of immortality is founded upon the certainty of the resurrection from the dead, that Christ died and that he rose again, and that we that are of Christ, that we will rise up out of our graves also. We are to remember his willingness and his desires. We are to remember that he laid down his life so that man could be reconciled unto God. He believed in the same promises that we do, these promises that were given to Abraham and to his seed. And we know that God is not a liar, and that these promises will be fulfilled, as even Jesus himself experienced in his resurrection, wherein the grave could not hold him. In the purpose and plan of God, Jesus had existed as the Redeemer from the foundation of the world. He was the seed of woman who had bruised the head of the serpent's seed after the serpent's seed had bruised him in the heel. And during his 33 years on earth, no sin was found in him, yet he died, enduring all these unworthy cruelties done unto him. And he did this for his love towards the Father and for his love for us. So all of our thoughts should now be centered on this great act of love, and a time for us to be thanksgiving for our positions. We have all been sanctified through his offering of his body and by the shedding of his innocent blood. So let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Tremendous amounts of responsibilities were placed on our Lord, as well as the iniquities of us all. So when we take this bread and we drink of this wine, it should hold a very special meaning dear to each of our relationships with God. This is the most important time in our life, each and every first day. We are in the service to God to obey his command for this memorial set before us, to remember his only begotten Son, who took on the same nature that we live and feel every day, but without sin. And we know Jesus taught us how to live by parables and by example. He gave us instructions and wisdom, and he showed us what kind of relationship is truly possible with the Heavenly Father if we are humble servants. And faith, we know, has its reward. He was killed, but we know that he rose again on the third day, and his emphasis was intently focused on an obedient lifestyle, pleasing his Heavenly Father even unto death, which is a testament to him and for his love for his Father. And we turn to him because of our frailties, needing forgiveness of our sins, in whom is the only name that they can be forgiven. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The memorial service is an institution of Christ's command to remember his sacrifice. We are to be carefully remembering the purpose of this partaking with correct comprehension. And our participation in the memorials is to be consistent. One more reading before our instructions in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, picking up at 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companion to them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Take our instructions from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. With that, we will stand and have a prayer for the bread. Brother Bill, could you offer that? If we could also stand and give prayer for the wine. And Brother Mac, could you offer that? Our closing hymn today will be hymn number 115. The days are quickly flying, and Christ will come again, with all his saints attending, triumphant in his train. Hymn number 115, and Brother Dave, I'm calling you to close the prayer.